Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away once more, it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners throughout the world, but also to welcome our four talented players of the game. We have the clever humour of Paul Merton, the erudite humour of Clement Freud, the outrageous humour of Graham Norton, and the feminine humour of Linda Smith. Will you please welcome all four of them? So what a wonderful combination to play the show this week. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep the score and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the City Hall in Newcastle upon Tyne. And we are here as part of the Newcastle Comedy Festival. And in front of us, we have an exciting, hyped up, truly Geordie audience who are going to cheer us on our way. Is that right? And we're going to begin this edition of Just a Minute with Linda Smith. And Linda, the subject is the Angel of the North. That strikes a chord with some of them here. But for those who don't know, tell us something about their subject in this game, Linda, starting now.
The Angel of the North is a huge statue with arms outstretched, possibly in welcome, possibly like a boastful fisherman. Oh.
Now, that's never happened in Just a Minute before. I have to explain, I have lights in front of me, and two lights came on, and they both stayed on.
Oh, well, that cancels them both out then, doesn't it? Otherwise, we're going into the realms of antimatter and, you know...
Right, Linda, I've taken your decision on that. Thank you very much for reinterpreting the rules. And so, Linda, no points are scored. You have the Angel of the North still the subject. 52 seconds available, starting now.
Come on, I was breathing. If breathing's hesitation, then that does disadvantage all the mammals on the panel, doesn't it? No. I think perhaps we should have aqualungs to give us a level playing.
I always give that pause. You know when the now is coming. So, Linda, you unfortunately didn't take your breath in time. Merton, that was a correct challenge of hesitation, so you have a point for that. You take over the subject, and it is the Angel of the North. There are 50 seconds available, starting now.
It is a rather stunning structure. I think it's somewhere near Gateshead. I'm not quite sure. Nobody seems to be arguing with me, so it must be. I am very familiar with this statue. It is a wonderful piece of work. It is rather like...
Linda Smith challenge.
Hesitation,
there was an yes.
I was breathing.
Linda, you have a correct challenge. You've got the subject back again. You have 36 seconds. The Angel of the North, starting now.
One thing's for certain about the Angel of the North. It is definitely northern because it's out there day and night in all weathers, freezing cold, and it hasn't got a coat. In fact... not even a T-shirt. How northern can you get? This was a trait that used to astonish me when I lived in the north and...
Clement Freud, your challenge.
Good question.
Linda, it was an incorrect challenge. You have another point for that. You have the Angel of the North, and there are 11 seconds available, starting now.
I think the arms of this giant...
Clement challenge.
She's had a think before.
You did have a think before. And so that was... well, listen, Clement, 9 seconds for you.
I must say, the panto season kicks in early here. Well, if I don't get to finish this one, I'll have to sell Daisy the cow.
Nine seconds available. The Angel of the North, Clement, starting now.
The Angel of the North email address is allyefaithful.com. If you live in London, the Angel of the North...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Clement Freud, and at the end of that round, you won't be surprised to know that he's in a strong lead. He's actually, well, strong lead, one ahead of Linda Smith, and two ahead of Paul Merton, and Graham Norton has yet to speak, but he's going to talk now, because he takes the next subject, which is security. Graham, tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
We must live in a crime-ridden society. I've noticed as I've trawled my way around the land that come a certain hour, even public toilets are locked. Why? Are they afraid that someone might break in and clean them? Doesn't make sense to me. I've had to put a burglar alarm on my house. Well, obviously, I didn't do it myself. I had somebody in. But I do have this thing on the house. And you have to...
Paul's light came on first, yes.
A repetition of on the house.
Yes, on the house. Right. 23 seconds, Paul. Another correct challenge and a point to you. And security is with you, starting now.
There's been a curious trend at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival that has developed over the last 4 or 5 years, where comedians have had to employ security men to escort them around that particular town. And I always think it's probably a bad sign if a comic needs to have somebody...
Clement Voigtel. Yes, I agree with that, Clement. You have the subject, you have security, you have 4 seconds, and you start now.
I have been particularly asked not to speak about security.
Clement Voigt was again speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point and has increased his lead at the end of the round. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject, babysitting. Tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now.
I think the most useful thing when you are babysitting is a playpen in which you sit and the children can do whatever they like, but they can't get near you or touch you. And you are unable to change their nappies, which I think has always been a hugely overrated occupation. Babysitting, when you have as many grandchildren as I do, is something which is getting increasingly easy to refuse to do. Will you come over, say, my sons and daughters?
Paul Tallant.
Hesitation.
I think so, Paul, yes.
For a moment there, he couldn't remember who was asking him to babysit.
You're right. 25 seconds are available, and you take over babysitting starting now.
Well, it's a very cruel practice, and it shouldn't really be allowed to continue in a civilised society. Men will place bets on how long a baby can be sat on until it cries and wails and makes a terrible noise. The police have been asked in several locations in this area to look at underground babysitting, which has taken off enormously. The poor toddler is placed in a soundproof booth.
Oh, so Paul Mertman speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. He's moved forward, he's in second place. And those devious thoughts, the image you are giving to all our listeners around the world of what happens to babies in Newcastle upon Tyne.
You honestly think people in India are going to go, that sounds interesting, let's go to Newcastle. Sell the cow, let's go to Newcastle. They sit on babies there. Oh, it's probably only a joke. No, he said it on the baby.
Yes.
Paul Merton. Your friend in China, he'll probably want to come with us.
Yes, sir. Yes. You know, Paul Merton, he's an icon in his country. It must be true. Right.
Johannesburg, I don't know.
Yes, anyway. Graham, your turn to begin. Smart Alec, that is the subject. Tell us something about it in this game, starting now.
Bizarre but true, I knew someone known as Smart Alec, or Smart Alec, as he preferred to be known, because though his father was English, his mother was pretentious. He was a fascinating teacher, and was indeed very smart. For it was him who regaled me with this tiny bit of wisdom that I share with you now. Children are a bit like farts because people quite like their own. I have remembered this.
Oh, somebody open the window, please.
Theory.
Yeah. Paul, you challenged actually.
Oh, I did. Well, I was thinking about the people in India. I mean, but also that's not the only resemblance. They also lift a duvet up in the morning.
So what is your challenge?
I don't want people from China coming over here It's misrepresentation of the British people.
And so that is your challenge, your deviation.
Yeah.
No, I don't think he was deviating. He made a point which the audience enjoyed. And I'm not going to repeat what he said because it would...
create repetition.
It would, yeah. 18 seconds. Smart Alec is with you, Graham, starting now.
Smart Alec comes from a very large family of Alecs, because the only one don't.
Clement, you got in first. Yes, all that. We interpret this hesitation, so Clement, you have 11 seconds on Smart Alec, starting now.
The only Alec I ever knew was Alec Douglas Hume, who was Prime Minister, probably as unsmart an Alec as you will ever find in the world.
Roy has gained that extra point and has increased his lead at the end of the round. Paul Merton, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is high heels. Tell us something about high heels in just a minute, starting now.
Recently, I was appearing in a pantomime with Ronnie Corbett, and we were playing Ugly Sisters. And for the role, I needed to wear a six-inch heel. I can see you looking at me, Nicholas. You've worn high heels.
Call your challenge.
Yes, I,
hesitation?
Hesitation.
Well done. You listened very well then, didn't you? So that's a correct challenge. So if you challenge yourself is correct, I suppose I've got to give it to you. So you get a point for hesitation. You keep the subject. You have 48 seconds. High heels, starting now.
They are very uncomfortable to wear, as all the women would know here, I'm sure, or any men that would also have worn these high heels. The heels that I would...
Graham Norton challenge.
It was a bit hesitation.
It was hesitation. Graham, tell us something about high heels. 38 seconds available, starting now.
High heels were invented by men and sold to beautiful women, saying, "This will make you more gorgeous." When in fact, the male of the species was thinking, ha ha! Oh.
Oh. Clement challenges.
Ha ha is in the word, ha ha.
No, no. So 25 seconds for you, Clement.
25.
Tell us something about.
25.
25 seconds, yes. Do you want to look at the.
I wouldn't have challenged if there'd been that much.
Well, you've got a point, you've got the subject, you've got 25 seconds, you have high heels. Well, not personally, but you've got the subject of high heels starting now.
There are shops that pertain...
Paul Challenge.
He didn't have 25 seconds.
No, did he? No, the 22 seconds now for you, Paul, with high heels starting now.
It does put your foot in a curious position, and the angle of the leg, although it looks quite attractive to the onlooker, it's quite painful.
Clement Challenge.
Repetition quite.
Yes, there was too many quites, and you have 14 seconds. Tell us something more about high heels, Clement, starting now.
I'm not at all sure why shops that pertain...
Paul Challenge.
He's just repeated shops that pertain. From last time.
I know.
It's repetition.
10 seconds for you, Paul, on high heels starting now.
The highest pair of heels I've ever seen were worn...
Clement for a challenge.
He's repeated ever.
No.
Oh, yes.
No.
I didn't hear him say...
Fight.
I didn't hear ever earlier on, no. So I'm giving the benefit of the doubt on this occasion, you see, to Paul, and say, now you have the subject still, 6 seconds available, high heels starting now.
In the film Tommy, Elton John wears...
Nobody speaks at that pace. Computer-generated voice box to do that.
You hyped him up. You said, go on, boys, go on. And you hyped them up on the rest.
Well, he should learn to walk away.
Right. Well, Linda, we give you a bonus point because we enjoyed the interruption, but he wasn't deviating or doing anything within the rules of just a minute. So, Paul, you have another point for that, for being interrupted. And there's 1 second left on high heels starting now.
The scene where I saw...
Right. Paul Merton was speaking of the whistle went and gained that extra point, and he is now equal in the lead with Clement Freud. You want to know why I wore the high heels? It was in the Rocky Horror Show, because I know some of the audience saw me.
Yes, but come on, Nicholas, you were only selling chalk ices.
When I played at the Theatre Royal here in Newcastle, they saw me at the end and...
And wanted their money back.
I got some fan letters about the shape of my legs, I can tell you. I didn't know it was a good one before. Let's carry on with just a minute.
Zookeepers.
You're wicked and unkind, and I'm so kind to them. What? I came here to suffer. I don't know, but anyway, it's all part of the gist for the mill, isn't it? I don't know. Well, carry on with just a minute. I'm afraid it's your turn to begin, and the subject is market. And there are 60 seconds, as always, starting now.
To market, to buy a fat pig.
Paul Merton.
Three twos.
Yes, his, three his twos six. So close together. No,
nine.
It's six. Three twos.
For the correct challenge, you have market, you have 57 seconds, starting now.
There's a market near to where I live, and it's a market that I used to visit when I was a child as well. Fulham Market in North End Road in the London borough of that name is a wonderful place. I think it's under threat now, as a lot of local markets tend to be, as the supermarket.
Graham challenge.
Was there a repetition of local?
Do you know, I think there was.
I'm just asking.
Well, listen, Graham. Correct challenge. 42 seconds for you, Graham, on market starting now.
Only today I visited a market. It was Brick Lane Market in the East End of London. It isn't very good. There was a person with a stall laid out on a rug. I'm not making this up. And on it were doll heads. In Russia, you would find better class of merchandise than that. Broken radios, half a chair, one knife and a spoon, all priced up, very professional, but nothing you would actually want to buy. That's why they invented the shop.
So Graham Norton speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point and his other points. The round has moved forward, but he's still trailing our two leaders, Paul Merton and Clement Freud. And Linda Smith, your turn to begin. And the subject now is dinosaurs. Tell us something about those creatures in this game, starting now.
Dinosaurs have never been so popular as they are now. What a shame that they're dead and can't enjoy it. A bit like Eric and Ernie. Walking with dinosaurs was an enormously popular hit for the BBC. I've started so often.
I'm laughing.
I must explain to our listeners that Linda Smith is standing beside Graham Norton, and Graham got quite hysterical, and when Graham gets hysterical, the audience get hysterical, and that's why they were all laughing. So he dried you up, and I don't think it was fair, Linda, so I'm going to say...
I've never been accused of that before.
Linda, he dried you up. I'm going to give you a point, actually, because you were interrupted.
I did challenge.
No, but... And but she was thrown. She was thrown.
I challenged on BBC. Repetition of B.
A BBC, yes, that is repetition of B, right. Which you did say before you dried up. 42 seconds. Dinosaurs with you, Paul, starting now.
The British Broadcasting Corporation, or to give its initials, the B Ditto C, is a wonderful organisation that has been employing us all.
Clement challenge.
Repetition of organisation.
You didn't say organisation.
No.
Right. So, Paul.
You know, I think we should take this programme and then we could have a chance to listen back.
32 seconds for you, Paul, to continue on dinosaurs, starting now.
Well, of course, dinosaurs walk the earth. There have been many films made about this particular epoch.
Glinda challenge.
Particular? I think that... that might have been current in Dickens' times, but... since then, we've had a state education system.
I think that's been a bit picky, actually. I really do. But, Linda, they enjoy what you said.
Being a bit particular.
He was struggling to get the word out. He didn't really deviate from language the way we understand it too much. So you have a bonus point because the audience enjoyed it. Paul has a point because he was interrupted. He keeps dinosaurs. 25 seconds available, starting now.
Dinosaurs, of course, are an infliction of Dean Martin.
A Clement challenge.
Repetition of course.
You did say, of course, before.
Well, I'm not surprised. I couldn't say particular. What else am I going to say?
Clement, you've got him with 22 seconds on dinosaurs, starting now.
A dinosaur is, of course, a large extinct animal, And it is believed that dinosaurs laid eggs, which enabled people to make omelets of enormous size. A dinosaur...
Paul Chalmers.
Deviation.
I agree with you. I don't think they'd... I think
they weren't, you didn't have people and dinosaurs at the same time.
That's right. And they certainly weren't making omelets in that period.
They didn't know how they could have fire.
No, no.
They'd invent fire before they invented the omelet. Have they got a brain in there?
I think there were no fillings. Cheese, ham, nothing.
Exactly. Frying pan, 2 bits of stone, and a bit of wood hanging off it.
It
doesn't make any sense.
If you wanted, even if they made it, you'd say no.
Exactly. If language had indeed been invented at that point.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I bet even then it was a vegetarian option.
That's right. So, a correct challenge, yeah, Paul. Yeah. 9 seconds on dinosaurs starting now.
You may be familiar with the movie The Omelette That Land for...
grand challenge.
It wasn't maybe just a movie.
I said film before.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
That's why I said movie that time.
Yeah, no, good. They're good.
Right, 6 seconds, still with you, Paul. Another point as well, of course, dinosaurs starting now.
My grandfather worked at the Science Museum, and I remember going to visit him when one of the exhibits was a huge...
So Paul Merton was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and for others in the round, he's got a strong lead now, ahead of Clement Freud, Graham Norton and Linda Smith in that order. And Graham, your turn to begin, and the subject is keeping the wolf from the door. That is the subject, and as you know, you can repeat any of those words on the subject, and you start now.
Keeping the wolf from the door is something I'm sure Ulrika Johnson became very familiar with when working as a hostess on the sports/entertainment show Gladiators. Late at night, she'd be in her room eating smoked fish or whatever Swedish people have as a bedtime tidbit, and she would hear a familiar noise. Oh no, she'd think. Surely that is the sound of lycra against cheap hotel carpet. The wolf is crawling down the corridor towards my room.
Paul Chalmers.
Her voice has deepened over the years.
It's the fish.
Is it? It's the fish.
Have you got a challenge with the rules adjustment? Graham, you still have the subject because he didn't challenge, incorrectly, and you get a point for an incorrect challenge. You have keeping the wolf from the door, 14 seconds starting now.
Poor people use the expression keeping the wolf from the door, meaning that they're trying to keep body and soul together. I don't understand this. Why would a wolf come to the house of a poor...
So Graham Norton, speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra. In fact, he started with the subject and actually finished with the subject, was only interrupted once, and so that hasn't happened for quite a long time, especially with these talented people up here. And the sad thing is, you worked so hard, Graham, but you're still in third place. But it's the contribution, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, sir. I don't feel patronised now.
We're moving into the last round, as I warned you a little while ago, and it's Clement's turn to begin, and the subject, very aptly to finish the show up here in Newcastle upon Tyne, it is Geordies. So, give me all. You wouldn't want me to talk about Mackins, would you? Geordies, that's the subject, Clement, and there are 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Geordies of it is the time...
Are they? I mean, it's all confused. Tenses flying all over the place.
58 seconds, Paul. Geordies starting now.
Well, of course, as the people in the audience know here, but to explain to our worldwide listenership who are listening throughout the globe, Geordies is a term for people who come from the Newcastle area. I'm very pleased to see that Bobby Robson is now manager of the local football team, because I think that it's about time they had some major success. I felt very bad for them being in the cup finals and losing like that. It was terrible.
Graham Norton challenge.
They're turning into an ugly mob. I'm saving you. Run now while you still can.
No.
the taxi waiting.
No, actually, he was trying to ingratiate himself, saying how wonderful Newcastle United were. Paul, an incorrect challenge.
Oh, lovely.
34 seconds, Geordies, starting now.
If you think of some of the players that have been sold in the last 15 years, Chris Waddle, Peter Beardsley, Paul Gascoigne, of course, is still...
Put Graham Norton challenge.
Repetition of Paul?
That's Paul Merton. No, he didn't use the word Paul.
Deviation from Geordie. He's actually talking about some football team that I'm not...
No, no. Paul, carry on with Geordie's 26 seconds starting now.
There was a comedian from this area who was called Bobby Thompson, who was a...
Clement Freud challenge first.
Repetition of Bobby.
Yes, we had Bobby Thompson. Right, 23 seconds, Clement. Geordie's starting now.
If you live in Newcastle, you would believe that we had six kings called Geordie. There was George the First, who only spoke English, Geordie II, who had an accent, Geordie III, who went mad, and Geordie IV, who was an admiral, was extremely mean and wouldn't pay for his coronation.
Paul's challenge.
Repetition of Geordie.
Yes, because the subject is Geordie's.
Yeah.
You are partisan, aren't you? I mean, that is a correct challenge when the rules are just a minute, and I have to give it to him. So, Paul, you've got back on Geordie's with 4 seconds to go, starting now.
Undoubtedly, St. James's Park is regarded as one of the finest...
Well, as I said before, that was to be the last round, so let me give you the final situation. Linda Smith, who gave us great value, was always finished in fourth place, but only just behind Graham Norton with his fantastic contribution, finishing in third place. Clement Freud with his usual amazing contribution, finishing in second place. But out in the lead with more points than anybody else with some of his outstanding contribution, as always, Paul Merton, we say you are the winner this week. I do hope all our listeners have enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and it only remains to me say thank you again to these four outstanding players of the game, Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Linda Smith and Clement Freud. We also thank Janet Staplehurst, who's kept the score for me, and she's blown her whistle so delightfully. We thank Ian Messiter, who created the game, and our producer and director, Chris Neal, and we also thank this delightful jury audience here in the City Hall of Newcastle for being so enthusiastic and lovely and warm to play to. From them, from us, tune in next time we play Just a Minute and take the air and enjoy this great game. Goodbye.